We will learn now the Sicha of Parshas Beshalach, printed in Chelek Yud Aleph of Lukot HaSichos, the first Sicha on Parshas Beshalach. It's a Sicha that the Rebbe said on Yud Gimel Shvat Tovshin Lamed Hei, which was Shabbos Parshas Beshalach, 1975. It's a relatively short Sicha, three Amudim. It is primarily a Biur on Rashi, explaining a Rashi that is brilliantly explained, and then with a gorgeous Hira, a very practical and very important application to life of how we view ourselves, how we view a fellow Yid, and what the core of a Yid is. The Rashi is with regards to a pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha, where the pasuk talks about that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and they're now at the banks of Yam Suf. And Paroi chases Bnei Yisrael, as the pasuk says in this week's parsha. This pasuk that the Rashi is focused on and that the Sicha is focused on, it's pasuk Yud in Kapitel Yudalit, chapter 14, verse 10. And the pasuk says, "O Paroi hikriv," and Paroi brought himself close, "Vayisu Bnei Yisrael esenehem," and the Bnei Yisrael lifted their eyes, "Behinei," and behold, "Mitzrayim nesei achareyem," Mitzrayim is traveling, is after them, "Vayirma oid," and they were frightened, "Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael el Hashem," and the Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem. It appears that Rashi wants to explain to us what is the nature of this Vayitzaku, what kind of screaming is this? So Rashi quotes the word, the Dibur HaMaschil is Vayitzaku, and Rashi explains, Vayitzaku, Tafsu Umnas Avaisam, they adopted, or they reverted, or they grabbed onto the craft of their forefathers, or the occupation of their forefathers. This is what Rashi says, and goes on to point out how their forefathers, the Aves, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, also engaged in prayer, also engaged in this type of behavior. We're not yet certain what this behavior is. Some of Farshim say Vayitzaku refers to the next pasuk, that the next pasuk continues, that they screamed out at Moshe, "Vayomer al Moshe, amibli ein kvar b'Mitzrayim." They complained to Moshe, "Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to die over here in the desert? Why didn't you just leave us there?" Some Farshim say that Vayitzaku is connected with that pasuk. Some say Vayitzaku, they cried out to Hashem in desperation. But what type of crying is this? What is this supposed to be? Rashi explains, "Tofsu umnas avaisam," they did what their forefathers did. And the first question that the Rebbe addresses is, it's pretty straightforward. We understand why they were crying. We understand what was going on over here. Why is Rashi bothered? What's bothering Rashi? Why does Rashi need to say anything? What would the five-year-old child not understand that Rashi has to tell him? Aha! Tafsu umnas avaisam, that they reverted or they adopted the behavior of their forefathers, the behavior, the occupation of their forefathers. As the Rebbe says, "V'tzarich lahavin makosha b'teichan akosuv shebeklal zeh hutzrach Rashi lefarish es perushi hanal." What is difficult? What is not understood that Rashi had to explain anything? Haloi pirush akosuv muvim bepashtus. The explanation of the pasuk is simple. Kasheru bnei Yisrael shehem b'tzara. Bnei Yisrael saw that they were a problem. They were in a predicament. They had a problem. There was an issue. What was the issue? The issue is very simple, straightforward. Kimitzrayim nasei achareim, because the Mitzrayim were pursuing them. This was a problem. And therefore, tzaku v'hispalalu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyatzir lahem, they cried out to Hashem that He should save them. He should save their lives. He should save them from the Mitzrayim. Why is this difficult? What's bothering Rashi? This is quite simple, simple, straightforward. They were in a problem and therefore they davened. The Ramban suggests, as I mentioned earlier, that when it says Vayitzaku, it's not that they called out in prayer, in beseeching Hashem that he should save them from the Mitzrim, but on the contrary, that they were calling out with somewhat of a rebellion or somewhat with tarumais, upset, similar to the message of the next pasuk. The Rebbe suggests that perhaps Rashi was trying to steer the five-year-old away from that interpretation, that the child shouldn't think that they were complaining, rather than simply that they were davening. Says the Rebbe Beis, this can't be the case, because if so, ein lefarish shirashi balishla lapirish vayitzaku lashon tarumais. One cannot explain that Rashi is trying to point out that vayitzaku does not mean complaining or objection or rebelling, which would explain the luchur rak al pizeh muvan ahemshach vayitzaku goyimer mazois asisolanu goyimer. Because if it would mean rebelling or complaining, then one would understand the continuation of the psukim that they called out. What did you do to us? Why did you do this to us? As the next pasuk says, mazois asisolanu leitzion mimitzrayim. So perhaps one might think that vayitzaku is an introduction, or introducing us to the idea that the Bnei Yisrael started to complain. And therefore, Rashi wants to tell us, aha, don't think that this is what the Vayitzaku means, but rather it means that they started davening, not to complain. So this cannot be the reason that Rashi gives us his explanation, because then Rashi would have done something very simple. Rashi would have quoted the word Vayitzaku, and the first thing he should have said is Vayispalalu, and they davened. The fact is that Rashi does not quote the word Vayispalalu. If so, it is clear that this is not what Rashi's intention is. Rashi's intention is not to steer the five-year-old away from Ramban's interpretation that they were starting to stage a form of a rebellion or to complain to Hashem, to express their dissatisfaction. It's not what Rashi's trying to say. So if so, what is Rashi trying to tell us? What is bothering Rashi? Rashi could have just said nothing. Question number three. If Rashi has a need, uli'idach, im yesh tzarech lefarash ulevar tam tzakosom atfilosom lakadosh baruch hu. Rashi tells us that why are they calling out to Hashem? And Rashi explains the reason that they're calling out to Hashem is because this is what they learned from their forefathers. This is the craft, this is the occupation of the forefathers of Bnei Yisrael, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So if Rashi has a need to explain to us that when a Yid calls out to Hashem, it's because that's what his forefathers did. So why does Rashi wait until Parshas Beshalach to teach us that when a Yid cries out to Hashem, it's because he's doing what his forefathers did? Rashi should have explained this to us the first time that the idea of calling out to Hashem is introduced, which is in Parsha Shmos. In Parsha Shmos it says, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael b'atal shavasim alei elokim, that the b'nei Yisrael cried out to Hashem due to the horrible persecution and pain and suffering that they were going through in Mitzrayim. There, the pasuk tells us that they called out to Hashem. Rashi should have told us at that point that when they called out to Hashem, it's because that's what the forefathers did. Why does Rashi wait until many chapters later, many parakim later, to tell us that when a Yid calls out to Hashem, it's because they're occupied in the same occupation, they're following the family business of calling out to Hashem, of davening to Hashem? Rashi should have said that the first time we're introduced to the idea of Bnei Yisrael calling out to Hashem. Okay, Now the pasuk there, when it says Vayizaku, it's something different than just calling out in pain, because that already says in the pasuk Vayanchu bnei Yisrael min avayda. So when it says earlier Vayanchu bnei Yisrael min avayda, that they sighed, they cried out in pain, and then it says Vayizaku, and they called out. So aha, what does Vayizaku mean? Obviously, it means in prayer and davening. So Rashi should have said, why were they davening? Because that is the family business. That's the family occupation. So if there's a need to explain why to daven, Rashi should have done so earlier. Number four, and the final question on the Rashi, is Eich Masim Bechlal Ataris Inyan Hatfila B'Shem Umnos Avesom. Why does Rashi refer to davening as an occupation, as a craft? It seems to be a strange way of referring to davening. Umevad Zeus, aside for the fact that it seems to be a strange way of referring to davening, Hare ha umnos b'mumun shal is'askos k'vua b'ez avaydo malacha shal ha'aves ha'esu b'pshot yishol mikra ri'yas tzoyin k'masupra b'toyra. If Rashi does want to refer to it as an umnos, as a craft, it seems from simple psukim that the occupation of the aves was to shepherd livestock. So why is Rashi referred to davening as a craft, as an occupation? It seems somewhat not in accordance with Pshut Lashon Mikra. I want to touch on the footnote before we get to the continuation of Eis Beis of the Sicha. I want to touch on Ha'ara 2, which is based on the where the first words of Rashi of Tafsu Umnes Avaisan, that they grabbed onto the occupation or the craft, they adopted the craft of their forefathers. Rashi says that this is from the Tanchuma and Mechilta, which was quoted by Ramban. The continuation of the Ara is at this point not understood by me. Rashi says, Ushneim Kosov Echad Benegela Avram. I'm sorry, the Rebbe points out that both of them, the Tanchum and the Mechilta, quote one pasuk with regards to Avram, Mashen Ken Li Yitzchak VeYaakov, with regards to Yitzchak and Yaakov, they quote different pasukim. So this seems to be a ha'ara on these, a general comment on the Tanchum and Mechilta, that with regards to Avram, they quote one pasuk. With regards to Yitzhak and Yaakov, they quote different psukim. From what I saw, the Tanchum and Mechilta, it seems that there are more psukim. That with regards to Avram, it's different psukim. With regards to Avram, they both quote different psukim. And with regards to Yitzchak and Yaakov, they quote the same pasuk. So perhaps that's the pshat in the Ha'ara, Ubishneim Kasubechad Menegel Avram, that they each quote a different pasuk with regards to Avram, Ashenikim Benegel Yitzchak and Yaakov. With regards to Yitzchak and Yaakov, both the Tanchuma and the Mechilta quote the same psukim. By Yitzchak Yitzchak Lesuach Basada and Yivka Bamakim, which Rashi quotes as well. With regards to Avram, Rashi, Tanchuma, and Mechilta quote different psukim. Those is a general ha'ara. To move on with the Pnima the Sicha, so far we have four questions on Rashi, trying to understand what Rashi is after. The simple interpretation is he's trying to tell us that what tefillah is, or what the nature of this Vayitzaku is that they were just preoccupied with their fathers, the occupation of their forefathers seems to be missing explanation. It can't be trying to tell us that they were davening as opposed to rebelling, because then Rashi should have said, Vayitzpalalu. If Rashi has to teach us what Vayitzaku means, that why they were davening, Rashi should have said this earlier, that when they daven, it's because they're preoccupied with their forefathers, a preoccupation. Rashi should have said so earlier. And why is this referred to as umnus? Rashi continues. L'halamamshich Rashi b'Avramo Omer al-Malkam asher amad sham. Rashi brings proof. He quotes. He teaches us where the forefathers davened. Rashi says, with regards to Avram, it says, al-Malkam asher amad sham. This is after the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. It says that Avram went to the place Asher Amad Sham, that he stood there before the face of Hashem. This is Parshas Vayera. And the Gemara in Brachos points out that where he stood, this means that's where he stood in davening, in prayer. But Yitzchak, with regards to Yitzchak, it says, "Vayetz Yitzchak l'suach basada." This is in Parshas Chayisara. And with regards to Yaakov, it says, "Vayifka b'makim." So with regards to Yitzchak, it says that he went to converse in the field. With regards to Yaakov, it says that he encountered the place. And the Gemara interprets these two psukim to refer to davening. Actually, these three psukim, the same Gemara and Brachos points out, explains that these refer to that the Avos started davening at that point, that they were davening at that point. So from this we know that the occupation of the Avos is tefillah, is speaking to Hashem, and therefore by Yitzaku, the screaming to Hashem is davening, following the footsteps of our forefathers, of the Avos. And this is not understood. The rayas of Rashi is not understood. Lama hevi Rashi ksuvim elu shetfilasim shel Avos nizkaris behem bederech remez v'loi hevi b'makaymam shetfilasim acherim shebehem aforish inyan zeh. Very simple question that comes to mind right away. These rayas, these psukim that support the idea that tafsu umnes avosam are psukim that do not say clearly that they were davening. With regards to Avram, it says that he stood there, Yitzchak, that he conversed there, that he encountered the place. It doesn't say they started davening. So why does Rashi use these psukim where prayer, where davening is not spelled out clearly? Especially that we have psukim where it says that Avram davened, and that Yitzchak davened, and that Yaakov davened. So clearly, if Rashi uses these psukim as proof, there's something else that Rashi is after, something else that Rashi wants to teach us, and that's the direction that the Rebbe is going. Where do we have psukim that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov davened? So first of all, with regards to Avram, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Lashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. That Avram, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, built him his Mizbeach to Hashem, and he called in the name of Hashem. Or the Pasuk prior to that, after Hashem reveals himself, or the Pasuk prior to that, it says, Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Lashem Hanire Elav, although it doesn't say Vayikra, but the fact that he built him his Mizbeach is an indication that he was conversing with Hashem, or was communicating with Hashem. So this is not just where it says clearly that Avram was davening, but it's also much earlier than the pasuk that Rashi actually brings. Rashi brings a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. There's a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. Rashi's pasuk is in Kapitel Yutes. This is Kapitel Yudbeis. So it would appear that Rashi should have used this as proof that Avram davened to Hashem. In addition to that, Be'iseir Mezuah, Kosev Alamokam Asher Omad Shom, The pasuk that Rashi actually does use is, as I mentioned earlier, Nemar Parsha Dizdaim Ba'amayra, where it discusses the story of Zdaim and Amayra, Shabam Afurash, over there it's explicitly noted, Ubarichas Gdaila, and in great length, Shavram Ahir Baba Bakashas Otfilas Ba'at Zdaim Ba'amayra, that Avram spent much time exceedingly dedicating himself to davening, to praying on behalf of the people, of the population of Zdaim and Amora. And yet, Rashi does not quote any of those prayers and those requests that he was making, this beseeching of Hashem. Rashi doesn't quote any of those psukim. Bilu Rashi, Eina Mevi, Tfilis Elu, Elim Hashanemar, Basiyama Inyan, La'achar Firachas Zdaim V'Amora, B'remez Asher Amat Sham. Rashi glosses over all of those psukim where it mentions clearly that Avram Daven to Hashem, and even in the story itself, that he only uses a pasuk where that his davening to Hashem is hinted, it's not spelled out clearly, and also at the end of the whole episode of Zdaim and Amora. Why so? So this is question number one. To strengthen this question, it appears, Va'edze, it's been Mechilta, the Mechilta that appears to be the source of where Rashi took his interpretation, Shehi lefi tzin hamatpisim hamakar lepirush Rashi zeh, Huva amanam pasuk kanal shenamar pashas lech lecha, v'yim hashem mizbeach, v'lo ya pasuk shemevi Rashi. In fact, the source of Rashi, what appears to be the source of Rashi, quotes a pasuk and Parshas Lech Lecha, and not the Pasuk Rashi did. So why so? Logically, it seems that Rashi should have used a different Pasuk, especially that the source that of Rashi used a different Pasuk. Why didn't Rashi? Now, the Rebbe touches on a couple of things parenthetically. Number one, the Rebbe takes issue with trying to determine what is the source of Rashi. And number two, there are a couple of points that the Rebbe makes. I want to not focus on them right now. First, quote the next two questions, and then go back to these two points that the Rebbe makes. So this is with regards to Avram. For a number of reasons, Rashi should have used a different pasuk. Number one, Rashi should have used a pasuk where Avram's davening is spelled out clearly. Number two, if he wants to use a story, a pasuk, and there are many of those, and that are much prior to the pasuk that Rashi actually quoted. In addition to that, the source of Rashi, where Rashi took his interpretation from, also quotes a different pasuk. So on all accounts, Rashi should have used a different pasuk. With regards to Yitzchak, al derech zeh gabe Yitzchak, I'm skipping the parentheses. With regards to Yitzchak, shonam meitzim b'mefurish v'resh parshas toldos, we see clearly in the beginning of parshas toldos, v'yeta Yitzchak, that Yitzchak davened. And as is interpreted, there shehir ba v'hivtzer b'tfila ad v'orivka ishtoi, that he it says in the beginning of parshas toldos, Vayeta Yitzchak LaHashem, that Yitzchak prayed, he entreated Hashem, and Rashi says, what's the meaning of Vayeta? Hibro v'hivtzir b'tfila, that he implored, that he exceedingly, before Hashem in prayer. So if so, Rashi should have quoted this as proof that this is the occupation of Yitzchak. V'chem b'Yaakov, with regards to Yaakov, it says, Shetfilosim and Fereshes and Parshas Vayishlach. We also have another pasuk with regards to Yaakov, where it says clearly that he was davening to Hashem, where he prays, Atzileni Yom Mi'adochi, save me from my brother. So with regards to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we have psukim harei, shebechol haksuvim elam ufurish inyan tfilosim shel ha'aves. The prayers of the forefathers are mentioned clearly, not hinted as they are in the psukim that Rashi quoted. If so, we need to understand why does Rashi use those psukim as proof that this is the occupation of the forefathers and not use what would seem to be the rational, reasonable, simple, straightforward proof that the occupation of the forefathers of the Avis was to daven. I want to now go back to the points that the Rebbe makes parenthetically. Number one, where the Rebbe asks that why Rashi uses uses a different source proof, one that is different than the source of his interpretation, that his interpretation is from the Mechilta, as is mentioned in a number of Chumashim. And the Mechilta itself uses different psukim as proof. Says the Rebbe that this, that it is quoted in the Rashis, that the Mechilta is a source for Rashi, is just according to the Matpisim, the publishers of Rashi, of those that printed the Rashis. And I want to make reference to Ha'ara 11, which I think is quite a major chiddush of the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, the source for the Rashi's Pirush is not the Mechilta, rather it is a Tanchuma. As the Rebbe says, Ha'ara 11, Ulfi ani az daiti hu mitanchuma. The publishers decided that it's from Mechilta, but the Rebbe says it's Tanchuma. Why does the Rebbe say so? What's the Rebbe's proof that it's from the Tanchuma? He has two reasons to think so. Number one, Aleph, Karav Yeser L'Loshanai. The interpretation of the Pirush of Rashi is closer to the Pirush, to the Loshan, to the wording of the Tanchuma. And number two, V'Ikar. And the primary reason why the Rebbe says that the source of Rashi is Tanchuma, not Mechilta, is because B'divar Maschil HaSamuch, I think this is a huge chiddush, that because the prior Rashi, Metzayin Rashi Atzma the Tanchuma, Rashi himself quotes the Tanchuma. V'loma tekef umiyad yaflig l'makam acher, and why should he immediately in the next Rashi quote not the Tanchuma but the Mechilta? That seems not to make any sense. And therefore, the Rebbe says, it makes more sense to say that it's Tanchuma. Now, the question of the Rebbe still remains the same. The question was that why does Rashi use a different pasuk to support the idea of Avram davening? That question still remains, even if the source of Rashi is a Tanchuma, because Tanchuma also brings a different pasuk. Also Parshas Lech Lecha, though different than the Mechilta, but also in Parshas Lech Lecha, while Rashi uses a pasuk from Parshas Vayera. So this question still remains the same, though the Rebbe's point is a very strong one and has to be corrected to reflect the source of Rashi properly. Now, as a side note, looking up the Rashi prior, the Rashi that the Rebbe is talking about, so this is the Rashi prior, is on the same Pasuk Yud, where it says Naseach Areyim, that Pari was pursuing Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says, number one, why does it say Naseach Lashon Yachid in the singular? It says Rashi Belev Echad Ki Ish Echad, as one heart with one man, and Rashi quotes, at least in the number of the publications that I used, the Mechilta. Then Rashi gives another interpretation that Mitzrayim was pursuing Dabar Acher, that Mitzrayim was pursuing them, and that Bnei Yisrael saw the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, that was the spiritual, the celestial prince of Mitzrayim, that he was helping them spiritually to assist Mitzrayim. So this is what Rashi says earlier, and this is quoted by the Tanchuma. Now, the Rebbe's question, or the Rebbe's proof, or the Rebbe's issue with Rashi quoting the Mechilta is because the prior Rashi quotes a Tanchuma. But it seems from these publications that Rashi also quotes Mechilta. So what is so difficult about the fact that, as Rebbe says, B'divrei Maskal HaSamach Metzayin Rashi Mi'atzman LeTanchuma? And he also seems to be quoting Mechilta. So just because it's one line earlier, is that a good enough reason to say that the source of Rashi is Tanchuma, not the Mechilta? So I am looking into different Chilukei Girsais. I found something very interesting, that in fact the prior Rashi, when you look at the Kisvei Yad, the early Kisvei Yad of Rashi, we see that the Tanchuma is quoted by Rashi as opposed to the Mechilta. Mechilta is not quoted. This is an unfortunate reality that many other publications of the Chumashim are not careful to indicate what Rashi used as a quote and what they or some other publisher is using as a quote. So we have, so the Ksav Yad of Rashi, or the Ksav Yad of Rashi's interpretation in the prior Rashi, only quotes Tanchuma, and therefore the Rebbe feels that this is proof that this Rashi is also quoted from the Tanchuma, or it makes more sense to say, especially the Tanchuma says it, and Mechilta is slightly different as the first point of Rashi, Karav Yisrael Ushonai. So this is one point, that the source of Rashi is a Tanchuma, and the prior Rashi and the publications that Rashi wrote it himself. And another point that the Rebbe makes, that perhaps Rashi's source is really a Mechilta, but Rashi had a different version of the Mechilta that we have. And he says you can't really say that. So the parentheses say, Olam ein lo yachich mishini zeh Rashi matzah girsa kuzu b'mechilta, af shagam oz yash makam lish olam b'cha Rashi menuscha nidira v'loy menuscha nufutza. One cannot prove from this that Rashi had a different version of the Mechilta. And then one would also need to answer why Rashi chose an obscure version of Tanchuma, the Mechilta, as opposed to the more common one, more popular one. But this can't be proof that Rashi had a different version, because Rashi is not quoting the Mechilta. Machash Rashi lo yhevis apirush b'shem Mechilta, ela b'tar pirush b'pshutu shel mikra. He's just using this as explaining something for pshutu shel mikra. The simple interpretation, yeshleima sheshina, as Rasha sakosov mikmesh sakosov Mechilta be'evin shetasim l'pshutu shel mikra shedarkei shel Rashi b'kam mekaymus. So even if we do say that this is the source for the Rashi is a Mechilta, but Rashi would change it in order to make the Pirush fit more smoothly with the path of Pshut Yishol Mikra, understanding Rashi, understanding the Pasuk, you know, according to its simple interpretation, as Rashi often does. Regardless, we remain with a number of questions. What's bothering Rashi? Why does Rashi feel a need to explain what was going on? And if he wants to explain this, what Vayitzak was, he should have done so earlier. And why Rashi uses psukim that don't point out clearly that the Oveis davened, as opposed to using psukim that, although Rashi had many of such choices, why does Rashi choose psukim in which this message is not written clearly? The explanation is, HaKoshish Rekosov, what was bothering Rashi with the word of Vayitzaku, is that Rashi is coming to answer a problem, an issue that a five-year-old child would have. And the question is, Ma makam hayali spalalu b'tzayka l'Kadosh Baruch Hu? What was the point of Bnei Yisrael screaming out to Hashem at this point? Why? Why did they need to cry out to Hashem? It makes no sense that they should cry out to Hashem. Why? Hare kvar hiftiach lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebnei Yisrael yavayu le'eretz Yisrael. Hashem already promised them numerous times that they will come to Eretz Yisrael. Va'ad kedei kach shebnei Yisrael yidayisum biyad rama, that the bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim with an outstretched arm. Af shevayerdef achare bnei Yisrael, even though they were being pursued. Val pizeinim movim. And so now we have a problem. This is not understood. Numan of shach. Im eminu b'avtachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein tzarich lispalel. Why would they daven at this point? If they believe in the promise of Hashem, if they trust in Hashem, and they trust His promise, there's no need to daven, there's no need to panic, there's no need to get nervous. Why daven? V'im lo yeminu, and if they did not believe, ke'aldei zeh shero shemitzrayim nisei achareim, v'yam lefneim chulu naflu mehem sveikas, and if they suddenly became doubtful, they suddenly stopped believing in Hashem, hinei ma'amakim lispalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they stop believing in Hashem, what's the point of davening? If they do believe in Hashem and His promise, there's no need for davening. So what's the point? Why do they daven? This is a very good question. And therefore Rashi has to explain. Rashi can't just gloss over this. Rashi can't disregard this question. And therefore Rashi explains the reason that they davened was very simple. Tafsu umnes avesam. They reverted to the craft, to their occupation of the avos, of their forefathers. Rashi therefore has to point out that the reason that they davened is not because they were panicking. In fact, they did not panic. In fact, they were fine. Bnei Yisrael believed in Hashem. If so, why did they daven? Very simple. The default mode of a Yid is to daven. Where do we see this? How we see this? Ah, this is the omnis of their forefathers. We see that the Avos davened not just when they had a need for something, not just that when they wanted to celebrate something, but bechlal. This is what the Avos did. Their default mode was to daven. And therefore Rashi uses, quotes the psukim that he does in order to bring out this message, and he doesn't quote other psukim where the Avos are reported to have davened. And not just is this the occupation of the Avos, this is also true with regards to Bnei Yisrael. Shegam hem yispalu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu av shekvar hoysel ha'mavtochem es HaKadosh Baruch Hu shevayu la'aretz. They had a promise that they would come into Eretz Yisrael, and they believed it, and they had trust and faith in Hashem. There's no doubt, no question. Why did they daven? Because that's what a Yid does. But if so, if that's the case, what happens in the next pasuk where they start complaining? Where they start saying that you should have left us in Mitzrayim? Challenging Moshe, Ma'azay Sosisolanu. Or Mashanem Baksum Lachazesh, Shabne Israel, Omer Al Moshe, Ami Bli Gamer, Ma'azay Sosisolanu, Tevlanu Aved Mitzrayim Gamer. The fact that they started complaining, Harezo Lachar Shabayitza Kubne Israel Lashem, Vloinanu, Sha'az Hishilulis Einen. Sha'azay Hishilulis Einen. If the reason that they davened was because this was their natural state of being, their default mode, if so, what happened afterwards? But this happened at a later point. It's not connected with what's written in this pasuk by Yitzchak Bnei Yisrael. It's a separate event. And based on this, we understand that the reason why they're davening at this point is because this is their default mode. They have nothing else to do, so to speak. So they have full trust in Hashem. But they're davening. At a later point, when it seems to become a problem, that's when Vayitzaku, when their davening seems not to have taken effect, that's when they become upset. and they call out to Hashem, or they rebel to Hashem, or they start screaming to Moshe, and so on. I want to make note of Ha'ara number 19. Alpiza Matoritz Bapashtos Diuk Bartanura and Gorariya Va'ech Amina Kosov Amibligam and Mashmash and Isramu. The Bartanura and the Gorariya want to say that this said, it says, Vayitzaku, this was immediately that they started complaining. And this that they did daven, and Rashi says, Tafsu Umanus Avesam, and this is also what the Medrash says. So the Bartanura and the Gorariya want to say that it wasn't a true, it wasn't a heartfelt davening. It was just a reaction that they davened, but really they were very upset. And this, in fact, points out a seeming machloikus, or the Rebbe rejects their position. The Rebbe says that the davening was a sincere davening, the natural state of a Yiddish to daven. Bartanura and Goraya say no, and others say no, that their davening wasn't a sincere davening. It was just a superficial davening because of family tradition. Not that it was a heartfelt davening. But based on this idea that these are two different events, that at first they davened, and it was a natural reaction of this is what a yid does. Then only after that they start complaining. So this could also be an explanation this could answer the questions of the Bartanura Gerari. The Bartanura Gerari want to say that because of the next pasuk says that they started complaining, clearly, the Vayitzaku refers to the same complaining. It says it's two different things, two different psukim, two different, so to speak, events. Maybe they haven't close in time, but it's two different things. The Vayitzaku was sincere, heartfelt davening. Only after that they start complaining. As Rebbe continues in Sahara 19, Kiharei zesh in Isramu ho yola achrei shevayitzaku v'lei nenu hulu. So this is one way of explaining the Bartanura and the Gerari. Another way of explaining them is, as explained otherwise, as the Ramban explains, Ayish Lemar al derech shekvar pirash Rashi, Shimisha omar zeh, lo omar zeh. These are two different groups of people. There was one group of people, Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael al Hashem, that they davened to Hashem, and it was davening because that was a natural state of being. That's what they naturally did. And then there was another group of people that started complaining. So this is one way of answering the question of why is it that the Bnei Yisrael were complaining to Hashem, that it's one after the other, that it didn't happen at the same time. Another way of answering this question is Gam Yeshleim Ashidiburim Elu. These words, the continuation of the next pasuk, where they complain to Hashem, and they're complaining to Moshe and so on. Leibo Machmas Heder Amun Hashem. Did not come as a lack of faith, an expression of lack of faith. They spoke this way due to their predicament that they were in. As it happens to people when they are in a problem, that they speak out of pain, without actually meaning what they're saying, without actually feeling what they're saying. As is quoted in the Sichas Kodesh, the Rebbe said, as miburchet, that you see people that although they might know a certain fact, but if they're in an uncomfortable situation, they burch, although they know that there's no real problem. The Gemara says that when a person speaks when he's in pain, when he's in tsar, one should not be very particular about what they say, because they're not speaking out of maliciousness or viciousness. Rather, they're not really thinking what they're saying. There's a certain point, and this is how the Rebbe explains why it's not a contradiction that on the one hand they're davening sincerely, they're reverting to the craft, to the occupation of their forefathers, to daven, and the next minute they could be complaining. The complaining is not real. Although they spoke this way, but the amunah was not affected at all.
Okay.
We see this clearly, that the Bnei Yisrael believed in Hashem, and it's quoted that this should be a good enough reason that Hashem should cause Kriyas Yamsuf. If so, they never lost their faith in Hashem. They never lost their Emunah. They complained. Yeah, that's what people do when they butcher. This is a very, very interesting point. And as I mentioned earlier, this seems to be clearly a different position than the position of that the Rebbe argues against the Gorarye and the Bar Tanura and so on. And it really touches on how you look at a Yid. The Bar Tanura, the Gorarye says that the davening was not sincere. As I'll quote the end of the quote of Gorarye's, doesn't do it with a complete heart, just doing it simply because that's family tradition, that this is what you do. What was real, the complaining was real, that was real. The Rebbe says, no, nishtazeh. The Amono was real. The davening was real. They never lost faith, they never lost heart in their bitachon and their Amono and Hashem. They complained? No, that's what people do sometimes when they burcha. This is beautiful because this points out also the way the Rebbe looks at a Yid, the way Rashi points out that, the way the Rebbe points out that Rashi teaches us to look at a Yid. That the real essence of a Yid is that he's connected with Hashem and he never loses his emunah in Hashem and he davens to Hashem. Yeah. Dalit al Pisa move and Gamke Mashirashi Medaik Lahavidafke Ksum Eloka Chachalit Philosom Shalavis Shahisabayfin Shal Umnus. So, based on this explanation, we now understand why Rashi chose these particular psukim. And very short, because the rest of the psukim refer to times that the Avis had a problem. They were in a predicament. And therefore, they davened, so that doesn't point out that this is Umnus, that this is their occupation, that this is their preoccupation, that their default mode is that they daven. These psukim, however, do bring out, the psukim that Rashi uses do bring out this point, as the Rebbe says. Tfilas Avraham Avinu v'parshas Lech Lecha, ha'yisum shum tami yuchad, kipir shashi sham nisna b'shay asidim chulu v'ispal sham aleihem, that he davened for Bnei Yisrael, but derech zeh because of shalivnei zeh shayisa kein tfilas hayda kipir shashi sham b'psuris hazerav b'psuris eretz Yisrael. So those two psukim, Avram had good reason to daven. All those psukim where Avram was beseeching Hashem on behalf of the Anshei Zdaim and Amara, Avram was trying to save their lives. Avram was trying to save their lives and save the cities. And therefore he was davening to Hashem. So if Rashi would use those psukim as proof to his point, he wouldn't bring out the idea of that the umnus of the Avis is davening. That would just be proof that when you have a problem or when you want to express gratitude to Hashem, that's when you daven. Same thing is also with regards to Yitzchak, that he davened in order for his wife to have a child. The same is clear with regards to Yaakov. He was doing so to save his lives. With regards to these psukim, there was no particular reason of why the Avis started davening. After Hashem turned over Sodom and Amora, Avram goes to daven. Why? The same thing is with Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why daven? Why? There was no particular reason for it. The preoccupation of the Avis was this is what they always did. Not because they needed something or because they wanted something, they were trying to get something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but simply this is what they did. And therefore we also understand why Rashi didn't address this question earlier where it says Bnei Yisrael crying out Hashem, this was a problem. They were groaning. They were in pain. They were suffering. And they were davening to Hashem to help them from their predicament, to help them from their problem. And so on. Something is also another the other situations that the reason that they davened was simply because they had a problem or because they were expressing gratitude. Dafka and this pasuk that seems to have no explanation of why they davened. Rashi says, "Aha, tafsum nasavaisam. This is what a yid does. The natural state of a yid, the default mode of a yid, is that he's connected to Hashem, that he speaks to Hashem." He is a Vasnar Epis, he speaks to Hashem. Hey, Hayram is a Bavaydas Adam. The practical application to our day-to-day life. Inyan Atfila. Valderek Zalimada Terra Bhul Tsarchlius Bidugmas Inyan Shal Umnus. Our davening and our learning has to be in simply because this is the default mode of a yid. This is my occupation. I'm occupied with davening and learning as a yid. The learning of a yid is not just in order to know what to do, to learn what to do, how to behave, or what not to do, simply because this is the default mode of a yid. This is the occupation of a yid. This is his umnus. Valderech ze bekima mitzvus. Valvedes atfila. Shais askus behen. Einot zrichalis l'shem eze tachlis umatara protis. The davening and the doing of a mitzvah yid is not for a particular purpose, or for a particular function. Ela ba'efen shal umnus. This is his occupation. Shazeu kolin yonei v'chol mitzvah yosei. This is the purpose and this is the being of the yid. His entire existence is for one thing. La'avod HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kol hanal. To serve Hashem in these ways. To serve Hashem is the occupation of a yid. To learn, to daven, to do a mitzvah. Thus is the yid. This is true not just of a person in his own life, but also how to look at a fellow yid. Not to look at the fact and not to take into consideration the fact that superficially or externally a fellow yid doesn't seem to have a connection with Torah or Tefillah. One might think that way. And that's what this Rashi teaches us. Ki alav ladas, one must know, shebe'etzem u'pnimius, that the core essence and internally, the core essence of the yid and the inner aspect of the yid is connected with Hashem. Zuya umnus shel kol echad me'echad me'Yisrael. The occupation, the default mode of every single yid, is to learn, to daven, to do mitzvahs. Why so? Ki zuhi umnus da avos kol echad me'echad. Because this is the craft, the occupation, the preoccupation of the avos. Ela shehi behelem etzlei. At this point in this fellow's life, it might be not expressed, and now his interaction or your interaction with that fellow yid should be one. And your occupation with that fellow should be only to bring that out from its hidden state to its revealed state. What a phenomenal, phenomenal hira and such practical application to our day-to-day life and how we look at ourselves, how we look at our fellow yidin. No matter what type of yid, so to speak, we look at. It's interesting to note that the continuation of this Rashi Sicha is the Rebbe addresses something that was very painful in that period, that there was a certain person that called himself a rabbi, and he published in a newspaper that Chassidim are terrorists and so on. And when you put the two together, the Rebbe seems to be, though the Rebbe didn't connect it to, at least in this chesicha that I saw, but the Rebbe points out to us, not just as a yid not a terrorist, not just as a yid not capable to be a terrorist, but a yid is simply one with Hashem. A yid is essentially one with Hashem, that his nature is to daven, to learn, to do mitzvahs. The lesson and the application that the Rebbe teaches us in the Sicha is inspiring, it's uplifting, it is a beautiful message and something that is so important. But a very good question comes to mind. Is this for real? Is this the case? I look at myself, or I might look at somebody else who's not preoccupied with learning or davening or performing mitzvahs. And over here, we're taught that my nature, my default mode, is to daven and to learn. How do the two go together? What's the point of telling me this if I don't actually know this, if I don't feel it? Or is it my nature? Is it the nature of the fellow Yid that seems to be so distant from Yiddishkeit? So this is a very good question, and it is such a good question that the Rebbe addressed it in the same Fabringen that the edited Sicha is based on, though that question did not make it into the edited version of the Sicha, that the Rebbe did not edit this message. But the Rebbe's answer is like this. Point number one is we have to have knowledge, we have to have an understanding of this idea. And once we fully understand it, then we could implement it in our day-to-day life. Becoming aware of this reality, that our reality and the reality of a fellow Yid is not what we might have thought up until now, that we have been miseducated about ourselves or our fellow Yid if we do not see in them or if we do not see in ourselves that our occupation, our natural tendency is to daven and to learn. Davening and learning is the life of a Yid. And to illustrate this point, the Rebbe shares a story that happened with Alter Rebbe and his brother. Actually, there are two versions of this story, or two versions that are recorded in the unedited Hanacha. The brother of the Alter Rebbe asked the Alter Rebbe, what is the value of learning about lofty forms of serving Hashem with intense love and intense awe if people are completely not capable of that, so distant from that lifestyle? Why learn about this? The second version is that he asking the question on a pasuk. The pasuk tells us, "Vasiroisi esleva evan," that Hashem will remove our hearts of stone, meaning He'll replace our heart from being cold and hard to make it a heart of flesh. He asks Alter Rebbe, "Why dafka is Hashem going to replace our heart of stone, turn it into a heart of flesh? What about the mind? What about the mayach? Why does it not say that Hashem will remove our stone mind, our cold mind, our indifferent mind, and replace it with a mind of flesh?" And the Alter Rebbe answered him that the pasuk says, "Vasiroisi esleva evan mikir b'cha," that Hashem will remove the heart of stone from yourself, because to actually transform your heart is not very practical for every single Yid. As Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, to transform one's heart is not that simple, and therefore this must be done by Hashem. But with regards to one's mind, this is up to every single one of us, and very practical and very doable. What this means is that we must exert ourselves with our mind to understand these ideas and to fully grasp these ideas, to make them part of our way of thinking, to make this way of thinking the way we view our life and in the lives of those around us. And once it becomes part of our way of thinking, Hashem will do the rest. Hashem will transform our hearts so we can feel and appreciate the true nature and value of every single Yid, ourselves included, in the most beautiful light.